Welcome back to our deep dive. Today we're digging into Open Claw Daily by Tom Frazier.
Right, the newsletter.
Yeah, specifically this new internal briefing he put out, the exec quick take. And the focus here is agent releases, plain English explainability, cost exposure, and, you know, building a tactical watch list.
It's a very grounded read.
Oh, 100%. Because, you know, usually when a new piece of technology enters the workplace, there's this predictable honeymoon phase.
Mm-hmm.
You have a new software tool, maybe a sleek new dashboard, and everyone marvels at how much time it saves before they just, well, go back to their regular job.
Right, because it functions as a localized upgrade. It's a better tool for the human hands that are already doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly, it's a better hammer. But step into the world of autonomous AI agents, and that entire paradigm just it shatters.
Oh, completely.
We aren't talking about giving a worker a better hammer anymore. We are talking about the hammer deciding on its own what needs to be built, buying the nails, and starting to swing while you aren't even looking.
Which inevitably leads to that hammer, you know, occasionally smashing a window because it calculated that the living room needed more airflow.
Right. And this isn't some science fiction happening a decade from now. Frazier's briefing maps out exactly what happens when these systems graduate from simple chatbots to autonomous agents.
Yeah, it bypasses all that, like, AI is magic, marketing speak.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and dives straight into the cost explosions, the rogue operating loops, and the compliance nightmares that engineering teams are quietly scrambling to manage right now.
The value of this memo is how incredibly practical it is. It's the behind-the-scenes reality of what it actually takes to make these multi-agent systems work in production without, you know, bankrupting the company.
Or violating a dozen data policies in the process.
Right. So whether you're the executive approving AI budgets, the developer wiring these tools together, or just a professional trying to understand the future of your own workplace,
mm-hmm.
This briefing maps out the hidden landmines of our new reality.
It really does.
But to truly grasp the risks Frazier is warning us about, we first need to establish how AI architecture has fundamentally mutated over just the past few months.
Because the technology dominating the conversation today is mechanically entirely different from what most people were playing with a year ago.
Oh, totally.
I mean, a year ago, organizations were experimenting with single-shot LLM prompts.
Right. You type a question into a text box. The model generates an answer based on its training data, and the interaction ends right there.
Exactly. It is a closed loop.
But Frazier's memo points out that we have now moved into the era of complex, multi-component agent architectures. It's no longer just a standalone language model.
No, it's a whole ecosystem of capabilities wrapped around the model. We're seeing persistent memory.
Which means the agent remembers the context of what happened yesterday and applies it to a task today.
Right, exactly. And more importantly, we are seeing modular tool invocations.
Meaning the AI can actually reach out and control other software.
Yes. The new wave of agent releases comes with pre-built connectors. They can directly interface with your company's search functions, your calendar, your internal APIs.
And those APIs are basically digital bridges that let two pieces of software talk to each other.
Go on. And all of this is driven by what developers call planner and actor loops.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanics of that planner and actor loop, because I think that's the core of this shift here.
It absolutely is.
In the old days, if an AI didn't know the answer, it just apologized and the session ended. Now, we have explicit intent representations. The agent gets a high-level goal from a user, say, resolve this customer support ticket.
So the planner module kicks in first. It breaks that massive goal down into deterministic sequential steps.
Like step one, check the customer database, see their purchase history.
Right. Step two, look at the warranty policy. Step three, draft a refund request.
And then the actor module takes over to execute those steps by reaching out through those pre-built connectors.
Exactly. And this is where the autonomy really kicks in. Because if the actor module checks the customer database and sees that the user account is locked,
it doesn't just give up.
Right. It doesn't just stop and wait for a human to tell it what to do next. It looks at that failure, feeds it back into the planner module, reevaluates the situation, and decides to try a different tool.
Like maybe sending an automated email to the customer asking for verification.
Exactly.
So single-shot prompts are like a vending machine. You put a prompt in, you get an answer out.
Mm-hmm.
But these new agent architectures are like hiring an overly eager intern and giving them a corporate credit card.
That is a terrifyingly accurate analogy.
Right. They will keep trying different things to finish a task, which is fantastic for productivity, but it raises a massive red flag.
Yeah.
How do you stop them from maxing out the card or, I don't know, accidentally emailing the entire company.
Well, and vendors are actually exacerbating this dynamic by packaging these agents into vertical templates for very specific use cases.
Oh, like what?
You don't just buy an AI anymore. You deploy a pre-configured sales assistant or a DevOps responder that automatically triggers when a company server goes down.
Or like an HR helper to manage employee onboarding.
Exactly.
Which creates a massive paradox for teams. Because on one hand, these templates drastically lower the barrier to deploying a genuinely useful assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to build the calendar integration from scratch. It's right there in the box. It increases your throughput, gets features out the door faster, and suddenly your HR team is twice as efficient.
The trade-off, as the memo explicitly warns, is that you are massively raising your operational complexity. You inherit a whole new category of systemic risks.
Yeah, because that eager intern with the credit card can cause a lot of damage very quickly if they lack oversight.
Precisely. Frazier specifically highlights inadvertent data exfiltration via these tool calls.
Let's give a concrete example of that exfiltration, because it sounds kind of abstract until it happens to you.
Okay, so an agent might grab highly sensitive proprietary data from your internal network to answer a simple prompt from an employee.
Right.
But then it realizes it needs more context to fully answer the question. So it takes that sensitive data and accidentally passes it into a public search tool like Google or Bing while trying to find a broader answer.
Oh, wow. So it permanently exposes corporate secrets to external servers.
Exactly. Just trying to be helpful. Mm. And another prevalent risk is the runaway loop.
What does that look like?
An agent encounters an error. Maybe a system is temporarily offline. And the way it tries to resolve the error actually exacerbates the problem, creating this massive feedback loop of continuous failed actions.
And understanding that loop naturally pivots us to what might be the most underestimated operational concern in the entire memo, the hidden trap door of cost exposure.
Oh, the cost exposure is terrifying if an organization doesn't know what to look for.
Because autonomy naturally leads to unbounded resource consumption if left unchecked.
Right. Frazier explicitly labels cost as the single most underestimated operational concern with agent deployments.
Which makes sense.
The root of the problem is that executives still think about AI costs purely in terms of token generation, like how much compute power it takes for the underlying model to generate 1,000 words of text.
Right. You look at the pricing page and think, okay, the model costs a fraction of a cent per 1,000 words. We can scale this across the whole company and we'll be...
But that calculation is obsolete. It's just the tip of the iceberg in a multi-agent architecture.
Because the memo breaks down where the costs actually originate now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you still have the compute costs for the models, but now you have external tool API fees.
Every single time that agent queries your Salesforce database or pings a weather API or runs a web search to gather data for its planner loop, that transaction costs money.
Add to that the storage costs. If the agent has persistent memory, you have to pay to store every conversation, every file it analyzes, and every log tracking its actions.
Mm-hmm. Plus, the data transfer costs for moving all that information between connected systems.
And this is where the emergent cost behaviors happen, right?
It's
rarely a malicious bug. It's simply a logical consequence of giving software autonomy.
Exactly. The memo outlines a scenario involving a scheduler-triggered agent. It was set up to run periodic health checks on a company's internal systems.
Okay.
Someone on the engineering team accidentally configured it to run those checks every single minute instead of every hour.
Oh, no.
So it's working perfectly. It's doing exactly what it was instructed to do.
But because it has autonomy, it's quietly racking up thousands of API calls a day, burning through external vendor budgets without any human noticing.
Right. Or consider the runaway loop we mentioned earlier. An agent tries to call an external database to retrieve a file, but the database is down.
So it retries.
The agent decides to retry the failed call. But because it lacks a built-in pause, what developers call an exponential backoff, it retries in a tight loop. It fires off hundreds of requests a second, generating massive compute and data transfer fees in a matter of minutes as it aggressively hammers a dead server.
That is wild. And Frazier even mentioned the scenario where developers leave an experiment running in a production environment.
Yeah, that one hurts.
They enabled a massive, high-cost model for a simple task during testing and simply forgot to toggle the setting back to the cheaper model before going home for the weekend.
And you can't just go to the finance team on Monday and say, hey, the AI got a little too curious over the weekend trying to solve a server issue. Here's a $50,000 cloud computing bill.
Definitely not. So to mitigate this, Frazier mandates attacking the problem from two distinct angles: architectural controls and organizational controls.
Architecturally, the absolute rule is enforcing mixed model strategies. A company cannot use its largest, smartest, most expensive AI model for every single task.
Right. You don't bring in the chief neurosurgeon to take a patient's temperature. You route the tasks appropriately.
Exactly. You use smaller, vastly cheaper models for background tasks. If the agent just needs to route a request to the right department or parse a simple block of text to find a date, you use a lightweight model.
And you reserve the massive, computationally expensive models strictly for high-value user-facing decisions where complex reasoning is demonstrably required.
Mm-hmm. The memo also stresses aggressive caching and batching around external tool calls.
So if an agent is constantly asking a database for the company's holiday schedule, you shouldn't be paying for an API call every single time.
Right. You save that intermediate result, you cache it, and force the agent to reuse the saved answer.
Okay, so that's the architectural side. Moving to the organizational side, Frazier dictates rigid guardrails.
Teams need per project and per agent budgets. Leadership must instrument granular cost attribution so they know exactly which autonomous agent on which team is spending what amount of money in real time.
And the specific metrics they suggest tracking represent a massive shift in how we measure software.
Absolutely.
We are used to tracking latency and accuracy, like how fast is the software and did it crash? But Frazier wants teams tracking cost per active session and cost per decision.
You have to know the unit economics of your AI's autonomy. Is the decision this agent just made to refund a customer actually worth the compute power and API fees it burned to make that decision?
And to enforce those economics, the memo discusses deploying automated circuit breakers.
Right. These are systems that sit above the agent and automatically stop or degrade its behavior if it approaches a predefined cost threshold.
But, and I have to ask this, there is a glaring tension here.
Go for it.
If we put strict circuit breakers on an agent that simply pull the plug when it hits a financial limit, don't we defeat the entire purpose of it being autonomous?
Mm-hmm.
It's like telling an employee to solve a hard problem, but...
But you unplug their computer halfway through the day.
Yes.
Fair.
Because they use too much electricity.
Right.
You just end up with half-finished tasks everywhere.
And that highlights the central friction of modern AI deployment. Balancing autonomy against financial ruin. It's a tightrope.
If you brutally cut the power, yes, you lose the autonomy and you frustrate the user. The solution lies in smart routing and graceful degradation. A well-designed circuit breaker doesn't just kill the task, it degrades the capability.
Okay, let's walk through how that graceful degradation plays out in practice.
Let's say an agent is compiling a massive market research report and it's burning through its allocated budget.
Okay.
Instead of pulling the plug and failing the task, the circuit breaker kicks in and forces the agent to switch from the expensive reasoning model to a cheaper, faster model to finish the final paragraphs.
Oh, I see.
Or it cuts off access to premium paid day APIs and forces the agent to rely only on its internal memory and free public tools to finish the job.
So it's less like unplugging their computer and more like telling the employee, hey, you've spent your budget for premium research reports this month. You have to finish the analysis using only the free public library.
Exactly. It forces efficiency. The agent remains autonomous. It still completes the goal, but its resources are heavily constrained. But the underlying challenge, however, is that if cost controls dictate when an agent is stopped or constrained, you still have the problem of understanding why it was behaving that way in the first place.
Right. You have to debug the behavior.
Which brings us to the black box problem. Because if that circuit breaker trips, or if an agent denies a customer's own application, or if a compliance auditor comes knocking, you can't just shrug and tell them, well, the AI works in mysterious ways.
You need answers.
You need answers.
And the memo makes this incredibly clear. Explainability is no longer a niche research topic. It is a hard, non-negotiable product requirement.
Stakeholders, users, and regulators expect human-readable rationales for what these agents are doing and why they're doing it.
Now, researchers have been working on explainable AI, or XAI, for years. There are established techniques for looking under the hood of a model.
But Frazier points out that traditional XAI techniques completely fail when applied to these new multi-step agent architectures.
Yeah, the older methods, like analyzing feature importance or using local surrogate models, were built for a totally different era of machine learning. They were designed to explain a single, isolated decision frozen in time.
To give an analogy, feature importance works beautifully for something like a spam filter.
Right.
If a spam filter blocks an email, you can use those older techniques to say, okay, it blocked this message because it contained the word lottery in all caps and the sender's domain was flagged. The inputs and the output are static.
An autonomous agent, conversely, operates in a continuous dynamic state. It doesn't just make one choice.
No.
It interleaves its internal reasoning with external software outputs over a long period. It reads an email, decides to check the CRM customer database, finds a billing discrepancy in that database, opens a calendar application, and sends a Slack message to an account manager.
And you cannot use feature importance to explain that entire sequential chain of events.
No, it's mechanically impossible to map a single input to that complex output.
So if the old science doesn't work, how is Fraser's team solving this in a live production environment?
They are implementing a three-part hybrid pattern baked directly into the runtime layer, the very fabric of how the agent operates.
Okay, let's break that down.
Part one requires the agent to emit a short, one-sentence, plain English rationale for every high-level decision it makes.
It has to state its intent concisely.
Right, such as, I am querying the calendar API to verify the client's availability for next Tuesday.
Okay, I have to push back heavily on this first step.
I thought you might.
Given everything we know about AI hallucinations, isn't there a massive risk that the agent is just fabricating a highly articulate, plausible-sounding excuse for its actions?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how do we know its rationale actually reflects its mechanical decision process and isn't just to create a story it generated after the fact to satisfy the logging requirement?
That is the exact vulnerability of asking a language model to explain itself. It is fundamentally designed to predict the next best word, making it a chronic people pleaser. It will lie convincingly to give you a rationale that sounds logical, and that is exactly why Fraser's memo leans so heavily on the second part of this hybrid pattern. Machine-tractable provenance and hard-linked evidence.
You are forcing the agent to show the receipts.
Literally. The plain English rationale must be permanently linked to the exact tool response that triggered it. We are talking about hard data.
Like timestamps, specific tool identifiers, the exact parameters used in the API call, and the raw artifact that was returned?
Exactly. So if the agent's plain English rationale says, I canceled the meeting because the client's account is suspended, it must hard link the exact database query it ran.
And provide the raw JSON data response like the actual lines of code from the customer database, proving it received a suspended status code.
Right. It anchors the AI's words to verifiable mechanical reality.
That is brilliant.
The memo outlines a strict operational rule enforcing this. If a tool's output is missing that provenance, if the hard link is broken or absent, the system must block the action automatically until additional verification occurs.
You do not let an action proceed on rationale alone.
Never.
No receipts, no action. The agent is basically paralyzed until it can prove why it wants to move forward.
Right.
And the memo pairs that receipt with a confidence score to complete the pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
The agent actually has to numerically grade its own certainty.
A calibrated uncertainty score or confidence band is the third pillar. The agent has to numerically state how confident it is in the action it's taking based on the quality and completeness of the evidence it retrieved.
Okay, so you have the plain English intent so humans can read it,
mm-hmm.
the hard data receipts to back it up for the debuggers, and a numerical score of how sure the agent is to inform the circuit breakers.
Exactly.
Implementing that preserves human interpretability while keeping a firm, undeniable audit trail. It essentially acknowledges the AI is an alien intelligence working in our systems and forces it to translate its actions into a framework we can audit.
And setting all of this up, the cost guardrails, the graceful degradation, the three-part explainability patterns, is a massive undertaking.
Sure, sure.
It goes far beyond simply writing good code, which is why the final section of Fraser's memo focuses on the tactical playbook and how his team is actually executing this defense.
Yeah, the memo introduces two key roles on Fraser's team leading this charge, Dylan and Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
And the way their responsibilities are divided serves as a perfect blueprint for any company trying to survive this transition. Let's look at Dylan's role in the memo first.
Okay.
He is focused entirely on deployment telemetry and cost exposure. He is the one building those per agent cost dashboards we talked about earlier.
Dylan is running stress tests to intentionally flush out runaway billing scenarios before they happen in a live environment.
Right.
He's actively collaborating with the finance department to set up those automated budget cutoffs and degradation paths.
And on the other side, you have Claudia from the memo, who is leading explainability, compliance, and safety.
She is defining the templates for those plain English rationales.
She's mapping the provenance requirements to internal data flows, ensuring the agents actually have the permissions they need to grab those hard receipts.
Right, and she's piloting the audit trails to make sure they satisfy regulatory standards.
Together, they maintain a tactical watch list, actively monitoring the landscape for new threats.
A prime example is watching for vendor pricing shifts.
Oh, yeah.
If a cloud provider suddenly changes their model from charging for memory storage to charging per tool call, that single pricing change could blow up your entire agent budget overnight if you aren't watching.
They are also monitoring QA red flags, you know, the emergent behaviors we discussed earlier, an agent repeatedly retrying a failed tool, or an agent deciding to execute a critical action despite emitting a low confidence score in its log.
It requires a constant posture of defense and optimization.
Looking at this breakdown, the organizational shift is staggering. Dylan's role operates less like a traditional software developer and much more like an AI CFO.
That's a great way to put it.
He's running stress tests on billing infrastructure. And Claudia is effectively acting as an AI compliance officer. This proves that deploying AI has rapidly mutated from a purely engineering challenge into a complex, cross-functional business operation.
The silos have to come down immediately.
They have to.
If an engineering team is deploying autonomous agents without finance sitting at the table to build those circuit breakers, or without legal and compliance sitting there to design the explainability schema,
the organization is walking blindly into a trap.
Exactly. Frazier's recommended next steps for leadership make this cross-functional requirement explicit.
The memo demands that product leaders define the concrete user value to justify the compute costs. The era of AI for AI's sake is over.
Completely over. To govern the rollout, leadership must agree on three specific KPIs.
Right. First, a user value metric. Second, the cost per active interaction. And third, explainability coverage. You cannot move forward unless all three are being actively tracked.
And they're scheduling a 4-week follow-up just to review telemetry baselines and refine those budget guardrails based on real-world data.
So synthesizing the ultimate takeaway of this exec quick take, the era of throwing a raw, unconstrained language model at a business problem is completely over. It's a liability.
It really is.
The future belongs entirely to production-grade agents that are strictly cost-controlled, fully explainable through hard evidence, and rigidly aligned with business and compliance objectives. You don't just need a smart agent, you need an accountable one.
Because an unaccountable agent, no matter how intelligent it appears in a demo, is simply a very fast way to make a very expensive mistake at scale.
Which leaves me with a final, slightly provocative thought to end on today.
Oh, let's hear it.
We spent this entire deep dive unpacking how to build agents with strict budgets, requiring them to produce plain English audit trails with hard-linked evidence.
Right.
But as the complexity of these multi-agent ecosystems continues to scale, human compliance officers like Claudia simply won't be able to read every receipt.
No, the volume would be impossible.
So how long until we deploy AI agents specifically to audit the other AI agents?
Huh. An automated internal affairs division.
Could the future corporate org chart feature an AI worker doing the tasks, reporting directly to an AI compliance officer who checks its JSON receipts and confidence scores, with humans just reading the high-level summary on a dashboard once a week?
Honestly, it might be the only way we keep up with the speed of autonomy.
Something to mull over the next time you ask a chatbot to schedule a meeting for you.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, stay curious, and we'll catch you next time as we unpack the ideas shaping our world.